Okay, if he can heal, we're going to pray again.
I'm sorry about that, but I can pray all day. It doesn't matter to me. My hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with the forgiveness of sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness. We thank you for your presence being among us and for helping us figure out what the problem was with the computer so quickly. Thank you also, Father, for the technology to be able to share your word throughout the entire world. Thank you for blessing those that are here, those that are online, those that are on the radio, in the chat room, wherever, and for those that are going to listen to this later on after it's been posted online. Bless all those on the prayer list. And thank you again, Father, for bridling my tongue and any tongue that may speak, so that you are glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. All right. Okay, we're in Ministry of Healing, page 146, which is actually Teaching Health Principles. It starts off with. I don't know, you probably can't hear the heater fan either, because we're in a different room now, so I hope they can hear the fan going. All right, teaching health principles. Gospel workers should be able to give instruction in the principles of healthful living. There is sickness everywhere, and most of it might be prevented by attention to the laws of health. The people need to see the bearing of health principles upon their well-being, both for this life and for the life to come. I was watching a YouTube thing about God's creation last night, because I like watching preacher tapes and stuff like that on Sabbath, and even during the week, it doesn't matter. But last night I was watching this one YouTube thing where they were glorifying God. They had this nice song in the background. They were showing all these beautiful pictures of God's creation, everything from outer space to the wings on a butterfly. And somebody posted a comment saying, yeah, that's all well and good. I mean, I'm paraphrasing what the guy said, but he goes, that's all well and good. But out of every 33 babies born, one is born with a birth defect. Why? What a wonderful God. And that's how they left it. And so I left a comment, and I can't remember exactly what I said, but more or less to the effect that absolute truth is such that if all the elements are there present for the grass, like sunshine, water, good soil, the grass will be green. But if one element is removed or one element is added, the grass will be brown and die. Same thing with humans. God created man and women perfectly. All the elements are there that are needed for a perfect baby. If something is missing or something is added, like if the mother or the father does something they shouldn't do, or the mother or father don't do something they should do, then you might have a problem with the baby. You can have a birth defect. You can't blame God because of the pollution in the world, because some people, it's cause and effect, exactly. It's, you know, the pollution, like even parents that don't do anything wrong, but they're outside breathing pollution could cause something. You know, instead of having a blonde-headed baby, you'll have a brown-haired baby. Who knows? You know, it just weird things can happen because of the way the planet is. Case in point, we used to live 1,000 years before the flood of Noah. It's all because of sin. Everything has been degraded. People are being born deaf, blind, whatever the case may be. And that's more or less what I told the guy. And he comes back saying, so you tell me that if my mom gets cancer, it's her fault? So in other words, he changed the topic. He says, look, you were talking about birth defects. Your mother getting cancer, again, could be her fault, you know, her fault for, like Sister White's talking about here, is she's ignoring the healthful principles of life, the things you should eat and things you shouldn't eat, or her husband smokes, or one of her kids smoke, or she lives in a high pollution area, you know? You can't blame God. People always blame God for things. That's what you always see on the news, you know, when something bad happens, they blame God. Why did God take that wonderful person? But if something good happens, oh, I was so lucky. You know, they never attribute any of the good things to God, and they attribute all the bad things to God. It's amazing. Continuing, they need to be awakened to their responsibility for the human habitation, fitted up by their Creator as his dwelling place, and over which he desires them to be faithful stewards. And being a faithful steward means we wouldn't have used oil to run vehicles. You know, we had the brains back thousands of years ago, and it's already been proven in that one book Brother Dick was talking about, where they had these homes that were on an earthquake fault, and none of the homes fell because of the way the houses were designed with silver rods, or some of the technology back then was amazing. But man decided to go into a different path and use things that were dangerous to the planet. And like today, you've got all the cars out there using gasoline. But you can actually run a car using water. But they are going to prevent that from getting out there. And water is the perfect fuel. It puts everything back into the ecology. They were showing it up. They even got a picture on the or a YouTube video about it, about how this guy invented it by mistake. He was looking for a cure for cancer for his wife. And by mistake, he came up with this thing that you can subtract hydrogen out of H2O. They got a video about this, and he shows it. And he ignites the hydrogen that comes out of regular drinking water. He could do it with lake water or ocean water. Doesn't matter if it's got salt in it or not, he said. Just water, just H2O. And he says you could put this thing on your engine. The only problem is you've got to convert the engine for $1,500, which means all the pistons have to be covered in porcelain because water will rust it. And it was pretty neat to watch how, as he's taking the flame and he's blasting out a piece of tile, the flame is dripping water. It's just dripping water down. And he touches the edge of the nozzle where the flame is coming out of it like a little propane torch, and it wasn't even burning his fingers. And it's perfectly clear fuel. The only thing it would exhaust would be water. You're going right back to the... But man, like Sister White is saying, was not responsible for the human habitation fitted up by their creator as his dwelling place. And they haven't been faithful stewards, huh? Man wasn't... In other words, like she says here, they need to be awakened to their responsibility for the human habitation fitted up by their creator as his dwelling place. That goes for the planet as well as your body, because this is just a soft machine we're using, we're dwelling in it, and over which he desires them to be faithful stewards. Take care of the planet as well as take care of your body. Adam and Eve, their job in the garden was to take care of the planet. Doing so took care of their body. You know, the activity, the constant working. That's why you see, like when we lived up near the city, you remember this, people that lived in their 60s, they were like decrepit and old and, you know, walking with canes and stuff like that. And by the time they were 65, you figure they're going to be dead soon. Out here, you don't see that kind of a human in this neck of the woods away from the city until they're in their 80s. Because these people are constantly moving. They're constantly working. They're constantly doing stuff. The farmers, like the one guy I met the one time at Casey's, he had wrists like shins. The guy was massive. He was huge, and he was like in his 80s. And it's because he worked all his life. The activity. And plus the clean air. Yeah, good point. He wasn't near all the pollution. They don't even have out here where we live away from the city, you know how you had to get your car tested every year? The emissions test, yeah. They don't do that out here because there's not that many people. There's not that many cars. I mean, there's times, how many times have we gone to Lafayette? That's a 45-minute drive. Sometimes you'll see two or three cars in those 45 minutes sometimes. Sometimes you'll see 10 or 15. And then until you get to the city, you don't see a lot of traffic. So, continuing. They need to be impressed with the truth conveyed in the words of the Holy Writ. Of course, that's the Bible. She says, she's quoting 2 Corinthians 6:16. Now, she's dwelling here upon the body rather than the planet. With this verse, it says, "Ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Thousands need and would gladly receive instruction concerning the simple methods of treating the sick, methods that are taking the place of the use of poisonous drugs. There is a great need of instruction in regard to dietetic reform. Wrong habits of eating and the use of unhelpful food are in no small degree responsible for the intemperance and crime and wretchedness that curses the world. And I like the way she mentions crime, because you eat certain things, like one of the reasons God said you can't have bloody meat. I remember years ago when I was a teenager watching a movie about cannibals. And it was just regular people, and they it was like a vampire kind of a flick, but they were actually just cannibals. And what they did is they got a taste for human blood. And when they got that taste for human blood, these people turned very animalistic. They turned very violent towards each other, and it was just a natural reaction to eating the blood. And this is why a lot of people today have short tempers. I know I had a really short temper for many years because of all the blood. I mean, steak and potatoes every evening, that's what I ate. And the bloodier the better, you know? And it was just, it causes things in the mind, you know, I mean, the brain is an organ just like the kidneys, you know? It's going to be affected by what you put in the body. It's just like with an engine. If you won't put the right things in the engine, it's going to blow the engine. Okay, continuing. We're no way going to get through this one today. Especially since we're running late. Let me just do one more page, because I don't want to run too late. So, she goes on to say that in teaching health principles, keep before the mind the great object of reform, that its purpose is to secure the highest development of body, mind, and soul. Show that the laws of nature, being the laws of God, are designed for our good. See, a lot of people think the laws of God are things we can't do, and they're designed for your good. They are literally designed to lengthen human life. Going on, she says that obedience to them promotes happiness in this life and aids in the preparation for the life to come. And I got to tell you, I lived both sides of the fence here. Before I was a Christian, I tried to break as many commandments as I could. And then after becoming a Christian, I wanted to keep them. But I knew I couldn't do it, and so I had to have Jesus to help me. That's one of the reasons the devil wants people to look away from the Ten Commandments, because it proves they need a Savior. It's just like we were talking about earlier yesterday. You roll around outside in some mud. You walk into the house. You stand in front of those mirrors, like that one guy that was working on a roof. I tried to explain it to him in this way. He comes in. I says, okay, now you're standing in front of the mirror. You got mud all over you. What does the mirror do? It proves you need a bath. Mirror can't clean you. It just proves you need a bath. Well, the same thing with the law of God. The Bible calls the law of God the looking glass. When you look at the law of God, you realize, oh, I've lied. I've stolen. You know, I've committed adultery. You know, like even looking upon a woman in lust commits adultery in your mind. Or guys or women. And I've murdered before. Because Jesus said, if you hate somebody, you've committed murder in your heart. So there's a bunch of commandments that we've all broken. And you go, man, I need a Savior. Just like when you look in the mirror. I need a bath. Well, I need a Savior. That's why the devil's trying to get people to ignore the Ten Commandments. Because it leads them to Christ. It makes them realize they can't do it without him. And that's why he came. Because he realized they can't do it without me. The first covenant was here. Here's the laws. You keep them, you'll get to heaven. You know? Do the right thing. They couldn't. They broke the covenant. But God still kept his end of the bargain. You keep them, you'll get to heaven. It's just obedience. It has nothing to do with works either. Don't take me out of context, please. But the difference now is you still have to keep them. The difference now is Jesus comes, enters into the soul of the person via the Holy Spirit, his Holy Spirit, and then he helps us keep the law. It's still like it was in the Old Testament. You know, the wages of sin is death. The Old Testament, the wages of sin is death. The New Testament, the wages of sin is death. So you still got to keep the law. It's hard not to smile when that little kid looks at you like that. She's so cute. Too cute, yeah. Just push the end button to stop the ringing. All right. What was I saying? Anyway, I hate it when they do that. Get pulled off track there. All right, let me continue. That's right. The law hasn't changed. It's still the law like it was back in Abraham's day before the Jews even came to the planet. Because a lot of people think the Ten Commandments are for the Jews only. But Abraham talks about keeping the Ten Commandments in Genesis chapter 26. All right, so continuing. I think it's around verse 5. Lead the people to study the manifestation of God's love and wisdom in the works of nature. Lead them to study that marvelous organism, the human system, and the laws by which it is governed. We were talking about this yesterday. The law of God. What were we talking? Oh, yeah, it was tithing. Yeah, I'll bring it up in the sermon then, because it's just like with the apple, you know. There's a law called gravity. Okay, you got an apple in your hand, you're holding on to it, and you turn your hand over, you're holding on to it, you open your hand up, and the law says it's going to hit the ground. It's just like with the laws of God. You do this, there's going to be an end result. You can't stop it. It's like with the law of tithing, like I was bringing up. I don't know if I'm going to bring this up in the sermon, but if you tithe, the Lord blesses your finances. How he does it is hard to figure, but it happens. And it's just amazing how he does that. She goes on to say that, lead them to study that marvelous organism, the human system, and the laws by which it is governed. Those who perceive the evidences of God's love, who understand something of the wisdom and beneficence, of his laws. Never actually saw it typed out before. And the results of obedience will come to regard their duties and obligations from an altogether different point of view. Instead of looking upon an observance of the laws of health as a matter of sacrifice or self-denial, they will regard it as it is really is, an inestimable a very great blessing. You can't even estimate the blessing. And that's why I look at the Ten Commandments. It's not something I can't do. It's something I can do now. Because everybody always says, oh, I don't want to be a Christian because I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do this. Well, it says, look, I am a Christian. And the day is going to come when I'm going to be able to do some things that you can't do. Well, I can already do things you can't do. I said, well, what are you talking about? Well, I can pray to a mighty God and he will answer my prayers. You can't do that as a non-Christian. And the day is coming when I'll be walking on water or raising the dead or healing the sick to glorify that God in heaven. Not to glorify self, of course, but those things you can't do. So there's a lot of things you can't do without being a Christian as well as you can't do as being a Christian. And when you become a Christian, you don't want to do certain things that you used to do beforehand. It's hard to believe, but it does really change your mind. And then when you finally become a Christian, you go, why did I wait so long? Every person that's become a Christian has all made a statement. Why did I wait so long? They all said the same thing. They realize that is what I've been looking for. Right, going on, every gospel worker should feel that the giving of instruction in the principles of healthful living is a part of his appointed work. Of this work, there is a great need, and the world is open for it. Everywhere there was a tendency to substitute the work of organizations for the individual effort. Human wisdom tends to consolidation, to centralization, to the building up of great churches and institutions. Shut the bedroom. Yeah, no, shut the bedroom door. That one's ringing. Going on, human wisdom tends to consolidation, to centralization, to the building up of great churches and institutions. Multitudes leave to institutions and organizations the work of benevolence. They excuse themselves from contact with the world, and their hearts grow cold. They become self-absorbed and unimpressible. Love for God and man dies out of the soul. Christ commits to his followers an individual work, a work that cannot be done by proxy. In other words, you can't let somebody else do it for you. You've got to do it yourself. Are they saying anything in the room that we are having a problem? All right, well, I'll call him in. I'm almost done here, so I'm going to call him in. Because I banned somebody, and he could have been in the block. Continuing. Ministry to the sick and the poor, the giving of the gospel to the lost, is not to be left to committees or organized charities. Individual responsibility, individual effort, personal sacrifice is the requirement of the gospel. And then she goes on to quote Luke and Mark and Isaiah. Go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, is Christ's command, that my house may be filled. He brings men into touch with those whom they seek to benefit. Bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, he says. When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Luke 14, verse 23, Isaiah 58, verse 7, and Mark 16, verse 18. Through direct contact, through personal ministry, the blessings of the gospel are to be communicated. We'll pick it up here next week. Did I lose my pen? There was a pen here. Is that my pen? That's not my pen. What happened to it? Let me have it anyway. We'll pick it up here next week with page 148, starting at paragraph that says, in giving light to his people anciently. We'll pick it up there. We'll be back in a minute. Josh, you want to...